And so the men begin April 2nd. Open to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. We will be beginning this morning. Continuation of what we've been doing in our study of John. One of the biggest things that the Lord has been constantly reminding me of over the last few weeks in my personal life has been three words that we just sang in one of the songs. Holy, holy, holy. That we serve a holy God. And in my studies, I've realized that, you know, Scripture doesn't say that God is love, 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 or righteous, 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 but the fact that He is holy, holy, holy. That He is distinct, that He is different. And from me, I must give everything to live for who He is. That He is God. And this time of year, as we come and we celebrate Easter, we celebrate the fact that Christ is not dead, but He is alive. And because of that, because of who our God is, the fact that He is holy, that He loved us, that He sent His Son for us, we uphold everything that He has said. And we uphold that not just by declaring it here this morning, but we should be upholding that with our lives every day, that we live our life for Him. Last week in John 3, we closed with the awesome words of John the Baptist that He must increase, but I must decrease. This was a declaration that He lived out, but something that we should also live out. Something that we should not be increasing our name, but decreasing our name and increasing Christ in our everyday life. John said this must happen. It happened in his life and his ministry, and it must happen for us as followers of Christ. We must image Christ. The reality is, if we have children, we should want our children not to see us, but to see Christ. In our family, in our work, and the people that we're around, I do not want them to see Casey Lewis. I want them to see Christ. And I pray that that is your prayer as well. When Christ is our ultimate pursuit, He will increase in our lives. And John continues building off his words from last week. I want to do something different this morning. I would ask that you stand in the reading of God's Word. And this is just as a constant reminder that this is not my words. This is not man's words, but these are the words of God that we're about to hear. Just for context, John 3, beginning in verse 25. Now a discussion arose between some of John's disciples and a Jew over purification. And they came to John and they said to him, Rabbi, he who came was with you across the Jordan, to whom you bore witness, look, he is baptizing and all are going to him. And John answered, a person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given him from heaven. Yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. The one who has the bride is a bridegroom, the friend of the bridegroom, who stands and hears him, rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. He must increase, but I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth belongs to the earth and speaks in an earthly way. He who comes from heaven is above all. He bears witness to what he has seen and heard, yet no one receives his testimony. Whoever receives his testimony sets his seal to this, that God is true. For he whom God has sent utters the words of God. For he gives a spirit without measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. You may be seated. The words that John just uttered, you don't see any words of Christ in there at all. The testimony, and I was reading this past week, the way that he made this statement, the way that the words came across, it sounds like it should all be in red. And it's just showing the fact that this is the forerunner. This is whom God sent. This is what He has established through John the Baptist. And the first thing we must come to grips with this morning is that Christ is greater. Christ is greater. Verse 31, He who comes from above is above all. He's holy, holy, holy. He who is of the earth belongs to the earth and speaks in an earthly way. He who comes from heaven is above all. Something we should never forget, right? Doesn't that have significance for every area of our life? In the workforce? In our families? That I don't have to think about something that I should be doing. I just have to go to what God has already established in His Word and obey. The fact that Christ is greater, that the Word of God, it is breathed out and profitable for everything, that Christ is above all, He is greater. This is why Christ must increase. This is why this is not John's opinion, but this is truth. Why? Because Christ is not of the earth. You know, a simple truth that can often be overlooked, that yes, Jesus is fully man and fully God when He was here, but also a great reminder for us, He is God. And He walked among sinners. He lived among sinners. Christ is above all. Christ is from heaven. He is not of the earth. He is not created. He is the creator. He is God. This is His origin, heaven. This is who He is. God sent His Son to earth from heaven. John understood this, but His disciples did not. They were John's disciples. They were concerned about one thing and one thing only, weren't they? Their numbers were dwindling while the followers of Christ was increasing. They were concerned about what's going to happen to our little posse that we have. Is it going to continue to get smaller? He says, you're missing the point. I am flesh. He is God. He is greater. Christ is greater. Later on in John chapter 10, verse 27, it says this, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. Isn't that great comfort? Why? Because He's God. There is nothing that someone cannot take from me on this earth except for my salvation. You can strip my wife from me, you can strip my children from me, you can take my house, you can take all my belongings, but I have Christ. What God is saying here, look, once you are mine, you're mine forever. Through all the sin, the turmoil, the persecution, through all the hard and difficult times on this earth, you are mine. No one's going to take you from me. Goes on to say, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one is able to snatch him out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Christ is greater. Christ is God. Christ is above all. So John continues to say, look, I have no authority here. I am a servant. I am from earth. I am to fulfill my mission. John is pleased with just serving the Lord. And you know what? We can learn a lot from that. That we may not have everything our neighbors have. We may not have all the other things that we desire. This building may not look like other buildings in the area, but you know what? I'm pleased with just serving the Lord. If we would just obey Him. This moment, these words that John declared to His disciples were so clear that no one who heard them failed to comprehend that Jesus Christ is King and that He is greater, that He is above all. Now Jesus, who was across the Jordan, whom I bore witness about, the one whom more and more people are going to, the one whose ministry has begun, He is not like me. He was not created. He is greater. He is God. You know, we can be thankful for men who have done that in history. Amen. Men who have said, it's not about me, it is all about the Lord. A pastor that I admire very much, he is often asked, Pastor Keith, who's the best pastor that you look up to? And he never gives a name. His response is always, time will tell. And he says that because he's lived long enough and he's seen enough history to know that people who have been elevated in man's eyes, many of them fall before the end. It's like time will really tell. And that's true for us as well. That as followers of Christ, as we see what is laid out in this context here, that John was saying, look, it is not about me. If you think it is about me, you've missed everything. It is all about Christ. He is greater. Look to Him. You want to talk about time? Okay? I'm telling you right now, time, He'll never fail with that. He is greater. He is above all. I'm thankful for men and women who live like that. They are humble individuals. Because as we've already studied, they understand that God is sovereign over all things. They are called to obedience and nothing else. They understand a verse that we've looked at before, John 3:27. A person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given him from heaven. And John was not saying there that what he was doing was not important. And he was also saying, look, I am from God. I am pointing to God. It is not about me. He was just emphasizing that there is nothing that can be compared to Christ because Christ is greater than everything. There's a book in the last year that came out that says Jesus plus nothing equals everything. The best math problem ever. That Jesus plus nothing is everything. We don't need anything else but Christ. With Christ we have everything. Why? He is holy, holy, holy. He is greater. Basically, John was declaring what Paul would later declare in Philippians, for to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. He was saying, look, I'm here to obey. And that is it. I'm here to obey my Lord. He figured it out. That Christ is greater than anyone or anything because He is God. Is that true for your life? Is Christ greater than your TV shows? Is Christ greater than your entertainment? Is Christ greater than your job? How about your retirement? Is Christ greater than that? Is Christ greater than your sin, your struggle, your present circumstance, your crisis, your disease? Is Christ greater than your children and your family? He should be in our lives. Christ should be everything. He is greater than anyone or anything. He is the Word, as we have seen in John 1. He is the light. He is the Lamb of God, the Son of God, the Messiah, the need of everyone on this earth. As we've studied in the last few weeks, He causes one to be born again. He is what we need. He alone is the source of salvation. He is greater. The second thing we see here this morning from verse 32, His testimony is true. Everything that He declared is truth. John 3:32, He bears witness to what He has seen and heard, yet no one receives His testimony. Whoever receives His testimony sets His seal to this, that God is true. For He whom God has sent utters the words of God. He gives a spirit without measure. See, the one who truly understands that Christ is God and that He is greater lives life knowing that He is faithful, that He is can be trusted, that He is sovereign over everything, and His plan is perfect. And let me say this, that is much easier said than lived out in our everyday life, isn't it? How many times have we thought, God, is this really Your plan? Like, Like, is this really what you really thought was needed to happen? Like, couldn't you have done it some other way? But He is greater than that. Everything that Jesus said, His testimony is true. Now, John now speaks about Christ and what He says. He says that Christ is a witness to what He has seen and what He has heard. Why? Where is Christ from? Heaven. This is not secondhand. He was there. He's declaring what He has been commanded to declare by God the Father. We see this all through John. Jesus discussed this in John 3:7-15 when He was speaking to Nicodemus. He says this, "Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes. You hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to Him, "How can these things be?" Why? Jesus is God. Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you don't understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony." Was that secondhand? Absolutely not. Jesus told Nicodemus, "You must be born again. We speak of what we know and we bear witness to what we have seen." He was not secondhand knowledge. He was declaring truth from where He was from, heaven, the words of God. If you'll walk with me, John 4:34. Listen to the words of Christ Himself all throughout Scripture. Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to accomplish His work." See, not even the food of Christ was to do what He wanted to do. But the fact that Christ is God, fully man and fully God, He says, "I'm here to do my Father's will." John 5:19. So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of His own accord, but only what He sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows Him all that He Himself is doing. And greater works than these will be shown Him, so that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom He will." You don't see any aspect in there that is separated from Him doing the Father's will. Later on in John 5:30, "I can do nothing on my own. Nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but whose will? The will of Him who sent me." It means everything that Christ said, He was doing God the Father's will. Every single aspect, every word, every action. He goes on to say, "If I alone bear witness about myself, my testimony is not deemed true. There is another who bears witness about me, and I know that the testimony that he bears about me is true. You sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Not that the testimony that I receive is from man, but I say these things so that you may be saved. He was burning and shining lamp, and you were willing to rejoice for a while in his life, but the testimony that I have is greater than that of John." So we see here, Christ even bears witness to John the Baptist. He's like, look, some people may say John the Baptist isn't the forerunner. I am God. He is the forerunner. But what I'm saying is more important. What I'm saying is completely what you need. "For the works that the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I am doing, bear witness about me that the Father has sent me. And the Father who sent me has borne witness about me. His voice you have never heard, His form you have never seen, and you do not have His word abiding in you, for you do not believe the one whom He has sent." Meaning you don't understand what I'm saying because you haven't trusted in me. I am God. If you flip over to John 7:16, Jesus continues. Jesus answered them. He always got rebukes from everybody. And He said this, "My teaching is not mine, but His who sent me. If anyone's will is to do God's will, he will know whether the teaching is from God or whether I'm speaking on my own authority. The one who speaks on his own authority seeks his own glory. But the one who seeks the glory of him who sent him is true. And in him there is no falsehood. See, that verse connects really well with Pastor Keith's response to who's the greatest pastor. And he said, time will tell. And that's because over time, many people don't speak for Christ. They speak for their own glory. They want to lift high their name. They want to elevate themselves above everybody else. But we don't just look at pastors and say that. We have to look in our own lives and say, am I elevating myself or am I elevating Christ? And we can ask ourselves questions. Do I elevate what I want done in my life? Do I elevate what I want done in the life of my children? Or do I really elevate what Christ has already established as truth? John 8:23, he said to him, you are from below. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. Isn't that why John wrote, I'm writing all these things so that you may believe that I am the Christ and that you may have life in His name? But it's not just having life at the moment of salvation when you're saved by God's grace. It's the fact that you and I need to have life every day. Have life in Him every day. That we would realize that that is what an individual is all the time. That everyone that you and I encounter, they have life or they have the wrath of God. It is one of those two things. Christ later declared in John chapter 12, verse 44, Jesus cried out and said, whoever believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And whoever sees me sees him who sent me. I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment, what to say and what to speak. Isn't that great? That every word said from Christ is every word from God the Father. And I know that His commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me. It's not secondhand. Christ declared over and over again that I'm here to do the Father's will, and I only say what the Father has told me to say. The life of Christ is sinless, and His testimony is true. Everything He said is true and can be trusted because God is always true, and His promises are always yes and amen. There's no one in this room, no one on this planet who can point to something that Christ said that it did not happen. And that's distinct from everybody in this room. At some point in our life, our yes was not yes and our no was not no. At some point in our life, we have lied. At some point of our life, we have not upheld our word, not true with Christ. He is God. The life of Christ is sinless and His testimony is true. And you can say, well, Pastor, how do you really know that? You just gave an earthly example. Okay. Well, let's look at the words of God from His Word. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is what? God breathed. It's profitable for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be competent and equipped for every good work. So what do we need to live for Christ? We have His words right here. Every single one of them. Proverbs 30, verse 5 says, every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in Him. Have you ever had just one of those weeks where it seemed like everything just fell apart? One of those weeks where you were struggling? One of those weeks where you just didn't know what was going to happen next? But you found comfort in the words of the Lord? Seems I'm having those more regularly now. He is my shield, that every word proves true, and there's refuge in Him. Titus 1:1-4, in his introduction, Paul says, as servant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth, which accords with godliness and hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began, and at the proper time manifested in His Word through the preaching with which I have been entrusted by the command of God our Savior, to Titus, my true child, in a common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Savior. His testimony is true. Every word of it. And you may be saying, this is really elementary. I already know that His testimony is true. I understand that. But when you have hard and difficult times in your life, if you're not running to Him, then you're missing something. That He is just not something you run to. He is someone that you should be abiding in at all times. That it's not just in the difficult times that you go to Christ. It's every day that you're with Christ. In the good, in the bad. His testimony is true. When one does not believe the words of Christ, they are not saved. Salvation is impossible apart from God at work, and it is impossible without believing His words. You must believe, as the Scripture says, that you are a sinner, and you must trust in Christ and Christ alone for salvation, or no one is saved. And I promise you, that will always be my bedrock. I will always stand on that as a foundation. You must believe that. 1 John 1:5-10. This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Why is there no darkness? He is God. His testimony is true. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. You see, you don't uphold man, you uphold God. And you look at what God has established to determine whether or not man is lying. It is not the opposite. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from what? All sin. Isn't that great? Past, present, future. All sin is cleansed. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. We also must believe what Jesus said to Nicodemus in John 3. Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb? And Jesus answered, truly, truly, I said to you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Unless you are born again, you will not see the kingdom. Unless you are born of water and the Spirit, unless one has a spiritual birth, you are not saved. Scripture also says, many are going to come to me on that day when I come back. They're going to say, Lord, Lord, I did your will. And Christ is going to look at them and say, I don't know you, depart from me. That's why you always see the connection when John talks about, if you truly believe, you what? You obey. Now, there are times in our life when we don't obey, right? I hope you understand that we're all sinners saved by grace, and that you and I sin every day. If you think you go a day without sinning, then let me hang out with you. If you think I go a day without sinning, come hang out with me. That we need Him. Look at verse 32 out of John chapter 3. It says, He bears witness to what He has seen and heard, yet no one receives His testimony. Whoever receives His testimony sets His seal to this, that God is true. The one who receives what Christ declared believes that God is true. You believe it. Your belief changes who you are, and your belief changes everything about you. Right? You realize, I don't just go to work to get a paycheck. I'm retired, but I'm not retired. I may be retired from my job, but I'm never retired from giving glory to God. I'm never retired from being on mission in every area. The one who does not receive what Christ declared does not believe that God is true. Many will not receive what is true, but some will. And those who do know that He is true, and they set their seal on Him, and they live for Him. Look at the progression. Look at verse 34. For he whom God has sent utters the words of God, for He gives the Spirit without measure. Christ speaks the words of God the Father. When you hear Christ, you hear God. If you receive the testimony of Christ, you receive the words of God, and you can be sure because Christ has the Spirit without measure. You can't measure it. He's God. The Spirit of God is poured out on Christ. There is no mistake about what Christ has said, and we must take God at His word. His testimony is true. I've heard too many times, well, I know what the Bible says, but... Look, when we do that, you need to realize God has already established it in His Word. If there is anything after but that is sin, and anything after the but, you have to realize you're just wrong. You're just wrong. His testimony is true. And the words that really hit hard, look at verse 35. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into His hand. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. There is no one on this planet that is neutral. When you evangelize and you make disciples, you realize more and more that the more and more people you talk to, they really do think that they are a good person. They really do think that when I die, I will have an opportunity to talk to God, and God will look at my life, and He will, and I will debate back and forth with Him, and He's going to let me in. You either have life in Christ now, or you have the wrath of God now. It's one of those two things. There's no one who is neutral. That's why we do local missions. That's why we do missions overseas. Because everyone is headed to one of those two directions. There's no one who's neutral. That's why our good deeds can never outweigh our bad, because you have Christ and you're righteous because of the Christ's righteousness, which has been imputed to you. Or you don't have Christ and you're still who you were when you were born. A sinner separated from a holy and mighty God. No one is neutral. I love how it begins, verse 35. The Father loves the Son and has given Him all things. R.C. Sproul said this, "It is because of the Father's love for the Son that we can stand forgiven before the throne of God, delivered from the wrath unto everlasting life." Praise God that He gave His Son. The Father loves His Son, and all things have been given into His hand. So what things are out of His hand? What things are out of His hand? So when we struggle, where do we go? We go to Him. When things are good, where do we go? We go to Him. There's nothing out of His hands. He has all power, all authority. This is why it's necessary to call on Him and Him alone for salvation. Apart from Christ, there is no salvation. Whoever believes in Christ alone has eternal life. The one who believes, I love this, obeys. You ever talk to many people or you know people in your family that you're deeply concerned about? They say one thing and they live something else. Christ is clear. If you truly believe, you obey. And His commands aren't burdensome. It's something that you want to do. You have joy in obedience. Did you know there's amazing joy in evangelism and discipleship? You know what gets old? Coming to church Sunday after Sunday and doing nothing in between. That gets really old really fast. What becomes joyful is when what you do here on Sunday and what you do here on Wednesday overflows into your life and to the life of others that you're around. Whoever believes in Christ alone has eternal life, but belief does not exist without obedience. But this is not just a future promise, but a present reality. If you believe, you have eternal life now. Why is that good news? Because whatever happens to you today or tomorrow, does it really matter at the end? No. Because you're already in Christ. You need nothing else. You have all that you need. Everything. But whoever does not obey Christ does not have eternal life, but God's wrath remains on him. At birth was God's wrath. Now is God's wrath. When He comes, God's wrath. But I'm not through yet. I hear people talk a lot about heaven. They talk a lot about, I'm ready to go there. I'm ready to be with the Lord. On one hand, I completely agree with you. But on the other hand, I want more people to go. I want to take more people with me. But whoever does not obey Christ does not have eternal life, but God's wrath remains on them no matter what comes out of their mouth. You either obey or you don't obey. No one is on neutral ground. Every individual has eternal life or they have God's wrath. So an individual has been born again by God or they are in the same position they were at birth, an enemy of God. John 3:18, whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is what? You're already condemned already because God's wrath is still on you. Because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God, life or wrath, it's a position of not just you and not just everybody in this room, but everybody we know. It's a position of everyone at the apartment complex. It's a position of everyone in your neighborhood. You live on the street, everyone in your family. It's a position of everyone's child in this room. No one is neutral. 1 John 5:11-12. This is a testimony that God gave us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life. That's why He's writing. That's why we're reminded of that. Because too often in our life is not Christ. Our life is us. Our life is what we want. Our life is our present circumstances that we're going through. But when you look in the Scriptures, you see that the same men who struggled with the things that we struggle with, who struggled with persecution, who were in jail, you still see a great joy for the Lord. Why? Christ was their life. He was everything. If we have the Son, we have life. If we don't, we don't have life. Christ is greater than everything that you're going through right now. He is God. His testimony is true now, and it always will be. It always will be. And there's no one in this room who's neutral. There's no one. And so the question is, have you believed in Christ? in Christ alone for salvation. And I was reminded this morning from someone, and if you have believed, how are you obeying? How are you obeying? Obeying Christ is much more than a Bible study. Obeying Christ is much more than just praying. Obeying Christ is living for Him, pointing people to Him, declaring the truth of who He is. And in Him is life, because no one is neutral. Are you obeying Christ? And if you don't obey Christ, you do not have life in His name. Father, I thank You for this morning. Father, I'm so thankful for Your Word, how every iota, every dot is true, Father, that You are God. You are greater than anything and everything. You are greater than all of my present circumstances, my present failures, my past failures, my future failures. You are greater than anything I'm going through right now. Father, You are greater than physical death. Father, You are greater than retirement. You are greater than the TV shows. You are greater than entertainment, Father. And I know that these things we know. But Lord, I pray that our life would truly reflect that. Our life would be all about imaging You. That we would not waste another minute for our kingdom and for our name, but we would be about Your name and Your kingdom. May we have life in Your name now and not just wait for eternal life. We have eternal life now in You. May we live for You, Lord. And as Your Word declares so beautifully, You are holy, holy, holy. Father, may we truly be ambassadors who have been sent to live for You. And we pray this in the name of Christ, the name that is above every name. Amen. So we're in this room. This is our time of response. How will you respond to God's Word? Another way you could say it is, so what? All right, we just heard what God said, so what? We go and obey. Whatever the Lord has laid upon your heart, that you would obey. And that you and I would truly not waste this week. Amen? Because we don't know when it's going to be our last. And we would live that for Christ. So however you need to respond, this is your time of response. If you would, please stand.